Coming up on TMS, I took a walk down the boulevard.
Google wants you to know when you're gonna die.
Naked Dude wants new junk laws.
Marvel went crazy yesterday.
Yeah, talk about, I have frustration with that. Kevin Smith lost weight and a beard.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You think that sinking one yacht and snatching that money is gonna stop Mendoza? It won't even slow him down at all. Doggone it, I gave an oath to defend this country.
Here we go, Admiral Nimitz.
Get off your ammo box. You know, you're preaching to the choir here.
Oh, look, if we use this money for anything, it should be to put Mendoza out of business once and for all.
Now, I've also heard that he's got a very soft face, almost like a woman.
Come on and stream.
The Morning Stream, the sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
Hello, everybody. What's going on? Hey, it's Scott. Sorry, I got a little glitchy glitch going on there. Hey, what's going on? Hey, you know who that was there at the top of the show, do you? Do you know?
Who was that? Who was that talking about Mendoza?
I got to ask you first, do you have 50 bucks?
Oh, those Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, it was. Here he is again. Oh. Hold on. Here, I'll play a little short one of them here.
Stop Mendoza.
Stop Mendoza.
Stop Mendoza.
All right. And then there's another one.
Put Mendoza out of business.
Yeah, he's great. You got to love him. Zeus rest his soul, though. No longer with us.
Yeah. I had a Mendoza moment yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no. Do tell. What happened there?
So got a new iPad and I'm putting some stuff on there, like restoring a few games and stuff on there.
Yeah.
One of them is Poker Night 2. Mm. You remember Poker Night 2 with the inventory? It's the Telltale Games thing with...
I do. They had like Claptrap in it and...
Ash. Sure. And they also have Sam and Max.
Oh, that's right.
The dog and the bunny. Mm-hmm. And in the intro video, Max jumps up on the poker table and says, "Come out with your arms akimbo, Mendoza." And
awesome.
I wish, obviously, you know, I probably can find a way to play the intro again if I delete the data and restart it. But
yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm trying to find a place where I can capture the audio for you.
Well, one of the chief reasons for that game being what it was had so much variation in what everybody was saying all the time, so you didn't get a lot of repeats. So it's probably going to be kind of hard to get him to say it again.
Oh, no. This is in the intro thing. This is like the thing that plays the first time you launch the game and you're getting introduced to all the characters.
What's the name of it again, the game?
Poker Night 2. I think it's just Poker Night 2, but they refer to it as Poker Night 2 at the inventory.
Because I'll bet... Let's see. Let me see if I could find the intro. Is there an intro? I bet it's on YouTube by now.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah. There's got to be an intro video.
Somebody's done that someplace, mm-hmm. Right? Poker Night 2. Did Portal Ending? Nope. Don't care. Okay, how about this? Let's just see what we got here. Oh, that's Steam. Nope. That won't work at all. How about this one? Okay. All right. Nope. They're all sitting down. Nope. That's no intro.
Tonight's tournaments have a $20,000 buy-in.
Nope. All right, I hate that happens before that. Yeah.
He's the worst. Don't like him. Anyway, hey, so we're doing a show. We're here. We got things to talk about and ways to talk about them. And before we go too far, so there's been a big controversy with me the last few days and the listeners. And Brian, I want to take it all down a little bit here.
Wow. Okay. Some controversy.
Gather around the fire.
Controversy.
It all has to do with my insistence that bros is not. Brothers or brothers is not.
Oh my God! Really, this is really coming up.
It's coming up all the time, and it's not just here. It's on the Boop Show as well, and there's just a lot of back and forth and a lot of discontent among the ranks about whether or not I am correct in saying that bros with a period is brothers and bros without a period is bros, or that verse should versus vs should be pronounced versus, not verse, things like that, right? And people are constantly sending me these terrible examples. And yesterday we went through a couple of those and I kind of ranted off on it and stuff like that. And I'm being referred to as Old Man Johnson for some reason.
Really?
Shouldn't they call me Correct English Johnson or something
right,
like that?
Right. You know, at least Grammar Nazi Johnson.
Yeah, or something.
At the very least.
Word vernacular Nazi Johnson is much better.
Oh, man. Is there something old about wanting to speak clearly and correctly and use words the way that they were written the and
way
intended?
The way they're down on the paper and in the dictionary.
Right.
And in the clip-clop, all those things, exactly. So
these are the same people who made it so that Webster's had to add supposedly to the dictionary.
That's right, dude.
Because of their freaking insistence on using supposedly instead of supposedly.
I mean, I don't know what the state of bros or that whole delineation is in dictionaries today, but I do know that it's silly. This whole conversation is silly. So our good friend of the program, listener and voice actor extraordinaire, Liam O'Brien.
Hi, it's Liam O'Brien, don't you know?
Liam O'Brien. Hi.
You need me to do a voice for a video game, do you?
I'm going to be taking the gold out of your stomach now, Liam O'Brien.
That's right. I'll cut it open. Light me pipe, my boy, or whatever he says.
So, Liam, he's a good man. He's the voice of Illidan Stormrage in World of Warcraft. He's the voice of the StarCraft Ghost. He's every video game you've played, he is likely in it. If you played The Last of Us, you've killed him a bunch of times.
Infamous.
Infamous. Many games. Many, many games. And if you go look at his IMDb profile, you shall be blown away. That is my promise. Liam O'Brien is the name. And he's an awesome guy. I was on Current Geek last week. Real good friend. He'll be at BlizzCon. Great guy. All right? Such a great guy that he's listening to the show, keeping current on what's happening here on the morning stream. He's a big fan. And yesterday, he decided to pipe in on this whole controversy about bros and shortening of words and all of that. And he said something I think needed to be said. Okay. There's wisdom in them there hills, Brian.
Ooh, all right.
So here's Liam O'Brien in a call to me yesterday, a voicemail he left me, and I'm going to play it now. Listen to this.
I grew up on a boulevard as a kid. Boulevard is shortened to BLVD, period. And when you read that on the page, you say boulevard. You don't say bulved. And you don't say, oh, I live on the BLVD. It's boulevard. No one says bulved. No one says BLVD. There you go.
All right. I think Liam has the take of it. He understands.
You're looking for some sort of example, like another example that you would never do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And no one ever says, what's the boulevard in Monopoly?
There's lots. There's,
what's a big one, though, like a famous?
Let's see. Park Place Boardwalk.
Isn't there a boulevard?
Marvin Gardens. Maybe there's not. There's got to be a boulevard. Is there not a boulevard?
Oh, that shocks me. I can't believe it. You might be right that there isn't.
Well, they're not called boulevard. Like, you just get States Avenue. No, they're all avenues, aren't they?
Yeah, that's funky. All right.
Atlantic Avenue, Pacific Avenue, North Carolina Avenue. They're all avenues.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. That's even a better example. AVE.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. You wouldn't say
Ave. I live on the
Ave. People say Park Ave.
Do they? I don't.
They do. People say Park Ave.
But that sucks. They shouldn't say that. That sucks. You don't say it. You say FBI or the Federal Bureau of Investigations. You don't say FBI. Do you?
Right, right. Oh, it was Ventnor. I thought Ventnor was an avenue.
Ventnor Boulevard, was it?
Ventnor Boulevard is what AJ is asking.
But no one ever says Hollywood Boulevard.
Right, no. or Marketst.
Yeah, Marketst. Okay, see what I mean? Or something, I grew up on Chevy Chase.
Dr. Martin Luther King Durr.
Durr. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think we can put it to rest, though. I think this is it.
I think we can.
I think I have done all I can do to help you,
sir,
people.
Sir, in Skype, you will find a YouTube link.
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
Fast forwarded up to the point that it needs to be for the introduction to Sam and Max in the intro video.
Here it is. Oh, it jumped ahead to the two-minute mark. Is that where it should be?
Yes, that's about where it should be.
All right, let's turn the volume up. Here we go. There's Sam and
Max.
Hey,
Reggie, these new chairs are great. It's like my keister is being held aloft by the wings of tiny velvet angels.
Let me try, Sam.
I'm afraid there's no room at the table for your plus one, Sam.
That's okay. Max will make his own fun.
Come out with your arms akimbo, Mendoza!
Ah, see, dude?
Isn't that great?
That we're in. That may be our new theme. I'll have to cut that out. That's amazing. Yeah.
That needs to be sliced out. That's beautiful.
Nice find.
As soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is.
And you did it in real time playing the game. Like you, that's how you discovered it, was playing the game.
Yeah.
On your hot new iPad.
Right.
Mr. iPad 2 over there.
It's gorgeous.
iPad Air 2.
I got to tell you, man, this screen, it's so there's no gap. Like it's, there's, you feel like there's like, on the older iPads and some of the older iPhones, you feel like there's this glass gap between what you're touching and what's on screen.
Well, because there literally was like they didn't adhesive it to the screen like they have now.
Yeah.
Now that's only bad for one reason. You are totally right that it's awesome. It makes everything thinner. It's totally cool. That's the way
you're
things
gonna
are
ruin
gonna go.
This for me, aren't you? What are you gonna say?
No. There's only one bad thing is if you drop that thing, the old shatter method meant you were probably okay. Just get new glass.
Right.
You do it this time, you're hosed.
Done.
Completely hosed because that screen basically is the glass. And
things never leave in my desk now. Thanks a lot. I was planning on bringing this to Anaheim next week, mm-hmm. and you know,
yeah.
having it in the guild hall.
Sure. You're making me want one. Damn it! And I said to myself, I'm not getting one this year. Not getting a new one. Nope. This is the year I'm going to skip. I'm living with my Retina Mini. I'll be fine. But then you got one, and now I'm feeling that pull. We do this to each other.
You
I don't
can
know
do that though. You can skip a year because. I went from the first mini two and a half years ago, I think.
Yeah.
No, because they're on the mini 3, aren't they?
Well, they are now, but yeah.
Yeah, so 3 years.
Let's see, two, no, because last year was the mini 2.
Mini 2.
Year before that,
right,
mini
right. Year was
one.
The mini 1. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, 2 years. So I'm skipped a generation, and I feel like that's the way to go.
Okay, well, maybe I wait. I don't know.
I just want to have the new hotness.
I know you do. I know you do. And here's the problem. When you get the new hotness, I want it. And when I get the new hotness, you want it. Together, we're going to kill each other. We're just going to make each other broke because we both see these nifty, shiny things that we want. Anyway.
No, I'm getting the new iPhone.
Well, congratulations on that. Let's briefly here. Today is Wednesday, so we still have another day. But let's just take a moment. And let people know what they can expect on TMS PM's edition this week, which will be our Frog Pants Trivia Show pilot. And what do they need to know? What's going on? What's happening?
So starting at 5 p.m., so half an hour earlier than TMS PM usually starts.
Yeah.
We're going to have 8 contestants.
Wait, 4:30 p.m. No, wait.
What's that? What time? 5 p.m.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Oh, because we normally start at 5:30, right? 5.
Right,
sorry,
exactly.
5 p.m.
So 5 p.m. to 6:30.
Yep.
So it'll be an hour and a half. It's we're going to have 8 contestants. Pitting up against the four of you, and by the four of you, I mean Scott Johnson, Tom Merritt, Nicole Spagnuolo, and Justin Robert Young.
Fantastic lineup.
It is a great lineup, and should be a lot of fun. Trivia questions. Big thanks to Brian Woodward, who has been writing questions like a madman, getting us ready for this thing. It should be a lot of fun. You got the opportunity to win prizes, too. So
yeah, I'm beyond stoked for this. Just the very idea that we will be able to spend time with one another in such a manner is enough for me. But I'm super excited about this.
It's like the portable edition of Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars at Nerdtacular.
Yeah, think of it that way. And if we hit our goal on Patreon, which you can go check out at patreon.com/TMS, there's a goal that unlocks this as a permanent thing, maybe a monthly thing.
Right.
On the thing, on the show, on the thing. I'll just keep using
no,
the word
no
thing.
No, maybe about it. This
yeah, it is
a,
absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah, it'll be a thing. But the question, the only real question remains is, A, are we going to get to that level? And B, will everyone love this? And I think they will. They're going to tune in tomorrow and go, holy shite, this is a good time.
Yeah.
So, excited.
There may be, I'm just going to prepare everybody. There may be, because this is a pilot episode, there may be a couple technical issues. We're going to be working them out, but this is the first time we're trying it. So
it's a big Skype group. I got to figure out how if possible, I can get all the video in there. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do.
Right. Oh, yeah.
How much of this is visual, by the way? Is there very little?
None of the questions are visual. So
okay,
people could listen to this as a podcast and fully enjoy it.
Good, because... like 98% of people listen after the fact on, portable devices. So this would be, that's good to know. But Brian is lord of this. Like he's, when he dies, his gravestone will say, I did a lot of trivia things. Cause he's really good at it. And so maybe my most excitement about this is knowing how it's gone at Nerdtacular and seeing how this stuff works and seeing you run other trivia things. This just has me all stoked, and I'm kind of going into this as surprised as you will all be at whatever these questions are and all this stuff. So,
yeah,
it's going to be rad. I can't wait.
Oh, this will be fun.
All right. it's Daryl time. Now, I did have a new way to call him, but now I don't.
Right. Well, and he texted a second ago.
Oh, where is he? Is he not on his phone? What's he doing?
I don't know if he's...
He sold his house or something, and he's... Oh, there's his text.
Yeah.
It doesn't say
whether or not... It says he's ready.
I was supposed to be home at 7 a.m. so wife could go to work, and she's still here. Gah. Oh, so maybe that means he can't.
Well, if he can't, we'll do... That was 10 minutes ago, so...
Was that 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I like your reply. I went ahead and assigned tone to it in my head.
Right.
Because, you know, texting lets you do that.
Yes.
It's the great downfall of mankind.
You like that?
Yeah. Speaking of Gamergate, by the way, if you guys want to see the lighter side of my approach to Gamergate, go to myextralife.com today and check out my comic today. Mm. I think it's less about directly addressing the controversy on either side and more about this poor guy's choice of words. And that's all.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you'll like it. You'll enjoy it. Well, Daryl. Oh, he says yes.
Okay.
So we're going to call him on Skype. Add people to call.
Call him on the Skype clop.
Clip clop, Skype clop. Oh, I've had you up.
I know. I'm tired of fighting that fight.
All right. Well, when we called Daryl,
I would get the whole damn window to myself and whatever.
I totally understand. where's the thing for him? Here it is, right here. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
This is a direct message from the Klingon High Council to all crew members aboard the USS TMS. I should have said that in Klingon style voice.
This is a direct message from the Klingon High Council to all crew members aboard the USS TMS.
If you
want to die with honor and prevent our incoming invasion, you must immediately go to the redshirtdiaries.com. There you can save your starship by watching the Red Shirt Diaries, a Star Trek parody web series with new episodes every Monday. Follow Ensign Williams, a low-rank security officer, as she fights violent sentient plants, overly friendly superior officers, boy, this thing is long, and alien probes that refuse to let her sleep. Honor lies at the redshirtdiaries.com. Kaplaw.
There you go. Nicely done.
I'm going to go get a lozenge. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Daryl's not only on the line, but I see video of Daryl today.
Oh, really? We have...
Yeah, it's a little dark and spooky in there, though. What's going on in there?
It's night.
Oh. Oh, is it? No, it's not. What time
really?
Is it? It's only...
How many hours is Seattle behind us?
Well, it's 7:21 there, right? 7:21?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not too dark. Well, yeah, I guess it does get... It is dark-ish. It's 7:21 on the West Coast. That's a good point. In the northeastern part of these United States. Daryl, it's good to have you on, and we're going to chat with you now about things Star Trek related. That means trivia. That's what it means, and you're here to do it. By the way, Daryl, I should let you know, as just from a technical standpoint, this whole thing is happening via Skype on the machine and no second computer.
Oh.
Without any special anything, no software, nothing. I don't know what happened, but something in Skype must have changed. Because other than the mixer, there's nothing weird happening. Like, I'm piping it right back in, and you can hear me, and there's no cutting out, and it's all duplexed, and I have no idea why, because a couple years ago, this wouldn't work.
Skype, I know, has a echo filter. Maybe it's that.
Might have fixed,
stripping that
That
out,
might have yeah. been what happened. And if so, I'm... For the first time in a long time, I'm complimenting Skype on a feature that I didn't know existed. Too bad so many of the ones I hate, I don't have nice things to say for. All right, here's Daryl. Here's your thing. Oh, before we get going, we got an email. Walter wrote in. He says, why leaving for Becker was not a bad move? He's referring to our conversation about Jadzia Dax taking off.
Yeah.
He says, actually, going to Becker was a strong move for Dax. I like that we refer to her as the... character and not the actress. DS9 has only one season left at that point, but she was on Becker for four seasons. Becker was on primetime and on a primetime network and not syndicated television, so it meant more money. Guaranteed more people would watch Becker than would watch DS9. Stupid show, but from the business side of things, it was the right move to make. Thanks, Walter. Yes, but on the long-term financial side, I would argue that 4 years of Becker doesn't make Becker eligible for syndication, which is where the real money comes from.
Right.
You want to know why
episodes or something, right? Yeah. Isn't that what they have to have?
It's 100, I think. Yeah. 99, 100. And I think if you want the answer to the question, why does Jerry Seinfeld have so much money? It isn't because he had a show so much as it is that it was an incredibly successful show that went into permanent syndication all around the world forever. And that made him a freaking billionaire. So I'm not saying that even Dax got that big a share. I'm just saying that she probably to this day gets more money for her syndicated DS9 and now streaming runs of the show than she ever got for Becker. So yes, you're right. Seemed like the right move. If Becker had gone on to 10 years of television, sure. But it did 4, and Star Trek did more, and she was on Star Trek for more. So she's probably still banking checks from Star Trek.
She's still getting plenty of syndication money, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All she gets from Becker is midnight calls from Ted Danson breathing hard. That's all she gets from that.
Hey, you wanna come on CSI?
Hey, I'm all weird looking with white hair now. Come on.
Daryl, let's get to your question. Here you go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am. Wait, is this working?
Wow, you're barely awake. Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, I.
Good as light thing.
Oh, you had a like echo thing to do? Did we lose him? Where'd he go?
No, he didn't lose me. I lost myself.
All right.
Oh, I see. That's. There we go.
So you literally have to use a flashlight. No wonder you're moving. The lights don't work in your house. Got it.
I think something's not working the way I intended.
Oh, I do too, but I won't say what I think it is.
Because it may not be what you think is not working.
Yeah, it may not be your mixer that we're talking about. All right, here's your question. In the next generation episode, Second Chances, Commander Riker is in a jazz concert in 10 Forward, as he always was, seemed like.
Yeah.
Counselor Troy requested Riker and his band play the song Nightbird. Nightbird! What's Nightbird? What is that? Is that a real thing? I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Nightbird!
Hold on. Now I gotta play it. Hold on. Here it goes. Where is it?
Life's a joke. Shitbird!
Well, this is Shitbird. Shitbird.
I had the text wrong.
Anyway, at first, Riker ignores her request. She asks again, and then Riker reluctantly takes her request. Then Crusher asks Troy what this is all about. Troy says Riker has been working on this song for years and can't get through which part of the song. Is it A, the bridge, B, the solo, C, the chorus, or D, the intro? Bridge, solo, chorus, intro. Them's the options.
The bridge?
Yeah, the bridge. Of the bridge of the song. That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's the part that connects the verses to the chorus. Like there's a Jonathan Colton uses them all the time.
Oh, it's what Daryl's doing is picturing little tiny notes that are all sitting around and getting a strange
watching a view screen.
Yeah, getting getting a distress call from a note somewhere else. All right. Well, Daryl, we don't have food today, as you might imagine, because none of us have any. I mean, we all have food, but only for sustenance, not from people who want us to eat good things. Right. Nick, by the way, is committed to eating the rest of that box of crickets all in one bite. We're doing that tonight on video to put it on
YouTube. Wow.
Yeah.
He's pretty excited. So instead of eating...
Has he had any of them yet? Has he like had a sample one just to make sure he's fine with it?
Not yet.
Oh, so he's taking them all cold.
Mm-hmm. Virginal. He's going to just dump those in and go.
I wonder if he knows they're real crickets and doesn't just think they're chocolate molded things.
Well, I showed him. I said, look, this is like what you'd see in a windowsill at the end of the summer, like a bunch of dead bugs. And he's like, that's fine. I'll do it. I'm like, whoa, whose son are you? Anyway, so instead of eating somebody else's
fragrant liquid and powder,
we're going to not do that. We're going to move on to birthdays right away to the birthdays. Daryl, do you have any birthdays to celebrate today?
We do. That would be Ron Vito. He played Harrison in the first season of TOS. And he was in 29 episodes.
How old is he? Is he with us now?
He is... Oh, he died in 2005.
Oh. So that means he was born in...
1930.
Close.
1933.
33, okay. Well, I think we can count the whole decade when we play that song. I think that's fair.
Sure.
Nice shirt, by the way, Daryl. I've just noticed on video you're wearing the Smooth Federation shirt.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's awesome. That's one of my favorite collaborations we've done.
For sure.
Art-wise. It was just a fun Like
everything fit perfectly as far as like the design and the mm-hmm. the way you and I worked together on that. It was
You deserve most of the credit though. Like that initial sort of
whatever.
All I did was technical. Like you went in and said, "Hey, you what made about it look great." Look?
Is the deal?
Well, sure. Look at
I
this.
I threw together an idea. You made it look great,
Daryl. This is when you say, "Get a room, you two." That's what
you say. We'll have one in Anaheim.
All right, where were we?
Check it, check it, check it.
Oh, whoops, I didn't mean to click that. what do we do? Oh, yeah, so Daryl, the birthday. Happy birthday to that guy born in 1933. And may his memory long be with us. Daryl, now let's move on to what? The question again. Because why not? I'm just keeping things moving here, I guess, today. By the way, so you did sell the house. Is it done? You out? Is it finished?
No. They made an offer and we accepted and signed some junk.
Yeah.
Which is modern day signing stuff is easy. They just sent all this stuff to my phone and you just touch the screen in all these places you want signed.
Yeah, it's crazy that stuff. We did that too this time around with the house and I couldn't believe it was legal. Like when my realtor says, okay, just click here and click here. And it was all on his iPad. And I'm like, I don't feel like this is, am I going to jail later? Like, what are we doing? And then the final house signing stuff, though, we did have to go to like a broker thing.
Yeah.
And we had to sign a stack of what looked like a
kind of deal.
Yeah, it was like a ream of Staples paper I had to go through.
Oh, God.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, good luck on all that. Now, just real quick, though, what's your plan? Is the other place all worked out?
No, we have to start finding a place.
Oh.
That's the worst.
So you're in the process of finding a place.
That's the worst because the people that want in want to hurry. Like, that's how it was for us. We had to like, no, I don't like that dance. That is not a fun dance.
No.
But enjoy, Daryl. Enjoy. These are good times.
Do you at least have a gap between when you need to be out of the current house and when
we have
how much time you have to get a new house?
Yeah, we have some overlay.
Good.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. As long as it doesn't involve them on your couch or you in the dirt somewhere. Because winter's coming.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah. Winter is coming, dude.
Oh, no, that means there's going to be boobs and blood.
Right, boobs and blood every time. Okay, we are now, what are we doing? We're doing the question. Look, the bridge, the solo, the chorus, the intro, one of those things from that song that Riker was playing, he's been working on them for years, and he cannot get that freaking part right. Which of those do you think it was?
Yeah, well, I have written this down on a piece of paper.
All right.
Right when you read the question, I am holding it up to the camera.
All right. Why is there a fish?
There's a kid doodle on there.
Oh.
Mm. As you say, it looks like Cat in the Hat.
Yeah
it does.
Or a shrimp. Looks like a shrimp. It does look like a shrimp. I want a shrimp.
I see the word solo on there.
Yes, you do, and it's not Han.
Nah.
Your paper shot first or something. All right, great. The solo, you say. Well, I don't know, man. Let's find out if you're right. Is it the solo?
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
It's that's a good deal since yesterday there was some trouble there, you know, with the question. Daryl did it properly, the solo. Troy tells Crusher, that Riker has never been able to get through the solo. Right before he starts playing, Data calls Riker to the bridge. He walks by Troy and Crusher and says, "Saved by the bell," probably sideways and all weird walking. Here's a clip of all of that happening in real time. Here you go.
Any requests tonight?
Nightbird.
Any requests?
Nightbird.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nightbird.
What's that all about? Will's been trying to get this piece right for 10 years. He's never made it through the solo. Here it comes.
Data to Commander Riker.
Go ahead.
Commander, you are needed on the bridge.
On my way. Saved by the bell.
All right, so that was the actual scene that I just read. Here's the thing.
Nightbird.
Bird. this just tells me that Troy's kind of a dick.
Right.
Why would she want to do that?
You suck at.
Yeah, hey, I know you're terrible at this. I'm going to put you on the spot, boyfriend, supposedly. I'm going to make you feel bad. That's kind of rude. Anyway, congratulations.
It's like sending in questions with unpronounceable words.
Yeah, weird, right?
Hey, Troy, buy some yoga pants. Yoga pants.
Oh my gosh. I got camel toe just thinking about all this. All right. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, and he's part of the Grumpy Cast. That's it for that. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah. You don't have a game for us today, right? There's no game?
No. No, all my stuff is at work.
Oh, that's too
real
bad.
Real song or Star Trek jazz song?
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you what. Hold on.
Nightbird.
hold on. I'm going to give you a question, okay? Just, I know we just did that, but I want to give you a different kind of question. So here you go. Question of the day off Trivia Cafe. Daryl, see how you do with this one. Here's today's trivia question. When a 24-year-old John Singleton was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Director in 1991...
Who's that?
He became both the youngest filmmaker and the first black director ever nominated for a directing Oscar. What film did he direct? I know this.
Oh, I don't have choices?
Nope. It's just you got to know that answer.
Nightbird.
Let me see if it's Nightbird. Is it Nightbird? Nope. It's Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood, yeah.
Boys in the Hood. Daryl, congratulations on two counts. One... You know nothing about that, and two, you know a lot of stuff about Star Trek. Bye, Daryl. Stay out of trouble. Eat your beans. Okay, there we go. All right, Brian, now this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Tech Phoenix 2014. It's next month, November 15th and 16th, at the University of Advancing Technology in Tempe, Arizona. This year, we have Allison Michaels, Director of Education Programs and Services at Hootsuite, for our keynote session, and Ruth Carter, a real-life lawyer, is closing out our formal speaking sessions. Session tracks include audio, visual, writing, blogging, marketing, business, social, and coding and geekery. Tickets are available for only $12 at techphx.com/register. That's techphx.com/register. Use the code TMS during checkout to get 50% off the ticket price.
That's $6.
It's a great deal.
It's a screaming deal, and that seems like a pretty good thing to go to.
No kidding.
Got a lot of Phoenix listeners. You guys should go to that.
There's a lot of Phoenix people in our guild even who should be going to that.
It's crazy. Just talking to a gaggle of the lady folk from our guild yesterday, and they're all coming to BlizzCon, and it's going to be great, man.
Oh, I can't wait to see everybody again, especially now that I've been rating for a long time a while with you guys. It's really cool to kind of see everybody in person.
Yeah. It'll be fun. We'll get a lot of pictures and crap. Google, you know them.
The Google.
They got a search engine there and some Gmail.
They have Sheets. They have Sheets.
Yeah.
They got spreadsheets.
They got an ugly logo they've always had. Google is developing cancer and heart attack detectors. They want you, or Tom may be wanting to bring this up today. We'll find out. I don't know. But Google is aiming to diagnose cancers, impending heart attacks, strokes, and other diseases at a much earlier stage than is currently possible. The company is working on technology that combines disease-detecting nanoparticles, which would enter a patient's bloodstream via a swallowed pill with a wrist-worn sensor. So you'd wear this like watch-like thing after you take the pill, and then the watch would go, all right, the nanobots have told us that you are going to have a stroke tomorrow.
Or wow.
The work is still at a very early stage, of course. It would act as a early warning system in a person's biochemistry. Early diagnosis is the key to treating diseases. Many cancers, such as pancreatic, are detected only after they have become untreatable or fatal. So that's the thing people don't know about pancreatic cancer, is that it's not the most deadly of cancers. It's just the most undetectable before it's too late of cancers.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, you can go into 100 different visits to the doctor to have checkups, and none of them will say, you have pancreatic cancer, until you're like stage 4. And then 2 weeks later, look at the dog!
Daisy came to hang out with me here for the show a little bit.
She's as big as you.
She is. She's a big dog.
Oh, she's beautiful, though. What an awesome dog. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. Shit's bigger than bricks, though.
She does. Yep. She loves to chase bunnies in the backyard.
Aw. You get a lot of bunnies?
We do. Tons. The neighborhood is full of them, yeah.
So wait, just like random wild rabbits just showing up? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Dozens. The neighborhood is full of them. Like I turn on the light in my backyard, and there's like 6 or 7 every morning that like scatter.
It's crazy. I didn't know that. We don't get that here, I don't think. Well, where I used to live, we got We got a lot of what were they called? Pot guts. They're like little. They're like gophers.
Pot guts.
Yeah, but they're called pot. Let's see if I can find one. Pot guts. They look like little mafia guys. Oh yeah, here it is. Pot guts. It's the Belding ground squirrel is the full name, but they also call them pot guts.
I have never heard the term pot guts. Look at that. Some pot guts, them, Utah.
Yeah,
like that's the.
Yeah, there are tons here.
Right, but it's. I wonder if that's a Utah term for these things.
Probably more so.
Groundhogs is what I've always heard them called.
Well, there's a but or there's
prairie
some,
dogs. Prairie dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some difference though between them. I forget what the deal
is. I like
that
when you do a search for pot guts on Google Images, you get a bunch of pictures of these critters, and then you get a picture of a guy dressed as Mario DJing.
Success, Google. Success.
I don't even know.
I get a different. If I just do pot gut by itself, well, if I do pot guts, let's see. I get a bunch of squirrels. I get a kid eating ice cream. I get a close-up of a shepherd's pie, an open turkey, and then some more squirrel-looking animals.
Wow.
Ooh, and then a really big fat belly guy. Anyway. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. To each his
own.
So they want this thing to go in there and trace all your stuff, and they could. It would be a great way to do diagnosis at stages that could even mean, hey, don't even have to do chemo or anything. We just got to take that tumor out, or we just have to go in there and excise the affected area because it hasn't spread at all. I think this is great. I'm into this. And, you know, Google could have a real hand in the future of biotech if this was something that common people could do without too much expense. You know, it's interesting, Brian. Here's a thought for you.
Okay.
How would it be if the future of medicine was controlled more by technology companies that were not in the very expensive biomedical system? You know what I mean? Like, for them to say, yeah, well, this isn't FDA stuff. I guess the pill would have to be approved, wouldn't it? Let me think about that. Well, I mean, but like, there's tons of unfettered, like, supplements. Why couldn't this just be a supplement? I mean, just because it says it's got nanobites or bots in it doesn't mean, I don't know. I don't know how this would go. But I'm just saying, make it cheap for people. Don't have this be a $10,000 wrist piece.
Only available to the rich kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the part of medicine these days that I'm most frustrated with.
I see what you're saying.
So if they do that, I hope that's what this end result is. But yeah, that seems like a good thing. Don't want that cancer. You don't want that cancer.
No, no, especially the pancreatic.
Right. And by the way, does everybody on The Sopranos have cancer in season 7, 6 or whatever? Is that the plan? Is that all
really,
cancers?
I forgot about that.
Everybody has cancer. All the rival gang leaders have cancer. Freaking Polly has cancer. Three people have died of cancer already. Uncle Junior's got cancer. Everyone's got cancer.
Wow.
And now there's like Alzheimer's stuff popping up for everyone. Like that show is just everybody's got a disease. It's just so weird to me. I think it's because I'm consuming it so quickly that it's all running together, and you realize, man, there are a lot of subplots about mortality and aging and cancer, and it's weird.
It's weird. I don't remember any of that, but I believe you.
Yeah,
I believe you.
Yeah. Well, you know what Polly would say. Hold on. This is what Polly would say. Damn it. Where is it? I can't find it.
Yummy folk, but he's still-
That's not it.
Yeah.
Where did it go? I love that one, and now I'm pissed. Now I got to find. Now I'm really mad. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, no. Now you got a mission.
Don't forget. Come back.
There you go. There's Polly.
Oh, gotcha.
That was virtually the only line I could get without an F-bomb on it.
Yeah, no kidding, with his white temples.
Some girl on an episode yesterday was with Tony, and she says, so what's the deal with that guy with the white things on his head? I laugh so hard. There are genuine laughs with Polly on that show.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
I freaking love him.
Don't forget, come back.
All right, buddy. He's my favorite. Naked Rambler. I don't know what
Naked
that is.
Rambler.
Anyway, Naked Rambler wants junk laws to change after 7 years in prison. British man who has spent a total of 7 years in jail for going naked in public lost his legal war to wear no clothes on Tuesday as Europe's human rights court told him he must respect the feelings of others. Stephen Is that how you'd say that? Stephen.
I had to get some batteries off the floor because my Goff is how you pronounce that.
Oh, you got batteries just falling out of you, man. That's your
no,
problem.
No. I have my mouse just said, hey, I'm done.
Oh, Don't you love that? They don't give you any good warnings, most things. The Naked Rambler, he's known as by British media, is this is a bid to trek the length of the country wearing no more than a hat and a bulky rucksack. Is that what we're calling it now?
I hope that's they're talking about clothes. Are you prepared to receive my bulky rucksack?
Why do you make me want to play that now? Hold on.
Limp. I really...
No. Where?
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Yeah, we are. We're waiting to receive it.
Don't forget, scumbag.
All these bags and sacks. The Rambler, blah blah blah. Skip it up. He's all in trouble for having 30 convictions of public order disturbances and other offenses. That sounds so British. Public order disturbance.
Yes.
Gow or Guff or however you say his name.
Guff.
Guff. Oh, Guff. Is it an F? It's an F.
There's a Damon Guff as lead singer of Badly Drawn Boy, and that's how he pronounces it, and that's how he spells it.
It looks like a cough.
It does. Well, there you go, Damon or Stephen Goff.
Yeah. Damon Goff.
Oh, there's a picture of him. Ironic name. Just put a picture of him in the...
Yeah, look at that guy rolling around.
Jeez.
What a dork.
A skinny feller.
Yeah. He's skinny. Well, he just hefts a rucksack around and he's stayed in shape that way.
Say that rucksack is bigger than he is.
Yeah, right? you should have heard the long pre-show conversation I had with Scott Kurtz yesterday for Comic Dorks about the definition of a micro penis. It's the strangest conversation I've ever had. Anyway, let's see here. He argued that European laws on respect for private life and freedom of expression gave him the right to be nude whenever he chooses. But the Strasbourg-based European Court of Human Rights, or the ECHR, or as some kids today would say it, the ECHR, ruled that they did not apply his given deliberately repetitive antisocial conduct. He had plenty of other ways of expressing his opinions, it concluded. So he's it's moving on for him.
Dude, it's not like doing this for any sort of like, you know, I'm doing this to raise awareness for testicle cancer or.
No.
He's just saying, I just want to have the right to walk around naked with a rucksack and a hat.
Yeah, I want to hang my rucksack out for everyone to see it.
Great.
Yeah, I think you ought to have. I mean, but even then, would they even let him do it? Even if he said, oh, this is for cancer awareness. Well, they're probably still not going to let him
do
it.
Well, they probably still won't, but it's not like he's trying to do it for any good cause or anything.
Sure, sure. But even if it was, I'm trying to think, what would be the point? Like, nobody would become more aware of his cause by seeing him naked.
That's true.
It's like, you know, seeing this guy naked, I am suddenly more interested in muscular dystrophy.
My testicles for lumps.
I should check
this
my rucksack.
This lumpy rucksack makes me want to...
Oh, testicles. They always make me laugh. All right.
We're just giving Iceworm so much material here.
Well, give him a little bit of work. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's program, and this week's food makes me want to rush there right now and save money. But sadly, I'm not a first-time customer, so I can't do it. But for those of you who have not yet tried what HelloFresh.com is delivering, well, by gum, 50% off means using the code MorningStream at checkout at HelloFresh.com. Get one of the recipes that real chefs have put together. Get the stuff you like and delivered to your home, straight to your door, farm fresh, ready to make, healthy meal in 30 minutes or less. It is amazing. That's HelloFresh.com and the code MorningStream. Use it today. You will not regret it.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
By Coverville. We're on today's show. We're going to be celebrating the birthday of Stuart Goddard. Do you know who Stuart Goddard is?
Hold on, let me think real quick.
You know him
very familiar.
By a much more common name.
Oh, I do? Okay. What's his name?
His name is Adam Ant.
Oh, I know Adam Ant. I've heard of Adam Ant.
Adam Ant.
The original Ant-Man. Yeah.
That's right. Not Atom Ant, but Adam Ant. His birthday, Chris Difford's birthday, he's half of the band Squeeze, or half of the songwriting team that makes the heart of the band Squeeze. And This Day in Music from 1984. What were we listening to on this day in 1984 if we were to turn on Top 40 radio? Here's a hint. A really crappy song by Stevie Wonder. But lots more.
Was that Ebony and Ivory?
No, crappier than that.
Oh, I really hate that song, so let's see.
No New Year's Day.
Oh, that song's terrible.
To celebrate.
Yeah, that's bad. You're right. That's a big, bad song.
So listen as Brian tries to find a ska version of that. It's all coming up today on Coverville, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. The only time zone that matters right here on coverville.com/live.
Yeah, go there. Check it out. It's good stuff. Still one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. That weirds me out.
Crazy.
Yep. All right. We got some details on this Marvel. Oh, you know what we got to do here? We're going to add our friend Steven Schleicher to the call.
Oh, cool.
Because he's got the scoop.
I'll bet he's got things to say about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
I'm glad I remembered because I almost forgot. I'm a creature of habit, folks.
It's hard for me to remember these things. But yeah, we're going to get him in here because I need his expertise. All right, it's Steven Schleicher on the line, everybody. Hello, Steven.
Hello, good morning.
I haven't seen you since freaking Monday, jeez.
Since yesterday, when we did Comic Dorks.
We did do Comic Dorks, and not only did we do Comic Dorks, we did Comic Dorks like 5 minutes before the giant news hit.
We ended that show right on time because I went right from that to covering the big Marvel event.
Yeah, which seems sad for us in the fact that we just couldn't cover any of that stuff, but man, what a deluge of information came out of that Marvel event. And so just briefly, what was the what is this thing they're doing now? Is this kind of like their E3 or what are they up to?
No, it's really weird. I mean, it's basically a press conference. So, you know, like last week we talked that DC or Warner Brothers had come out and announced, you know, 10 movies or whatever that they had coming up on their slate.
Yeah.
And they did that as part of their big shareholder meeting kind of thing.
Yeah.
What Marvel did is they and Disney had scheduled a special 30-minute event where everyone just assumed they were just going to reshow the Age of Ultron stuff and bring out a few people. But instead, they announced a slew, I think it's what, 11 movies that are coming out. Well, some of them we already knew, but 9 new movies coming out between now and 2019.
Wow.
And so the list is Captain America. We already knew that. Civil War. That comes out
Serpent
Society.
Serpent Society. I love how they did that fake out, and it faked me out. It worked perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. So Captain America Civil War comes out May 6, 2016. Then we have a Doctor Strange movie coming out November 4th, 2016. Guardians of the Galaxy, we have May 5th, 2017. That's a change from its previous date of July 28th, which now is being filled with Thor Ragnarok. Then probably the biggest news that got everybody excited was the announcement of Black Panther, which comes out November 3rd, 2017.
Very exciting.
And it's got, what's his name, Chadwick Boseman, who was Jackie Robinson in 42.
He was also Black Panther. Get on up. He was our guy.
James Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've seen him play a bunch of real people.
Yeah.
Yep. And now it's time to play the Black Panther.
I gotta say, of all the announcements, I mean, all of it seems really cool. The two-part
Avengers Infinity Wars
thing, that's super exciting. Mm-hmm. Captain America Civil War thing got me excited. A lot of things there got me excited, but what really got me excited, I think, was Black Panther, and I'm not even sure why. It's not even like a comic I've kept up with very well,
right?
But I just feel like this is Batman for Marvel in a lot of ways. What's the skinny with him? He's a prince from
a kingdom in Africa. Yeah. And, he has been, his father was the protector of the kingdom. Now, when his father passed away, he becomes protector of the kingdom and he decides to venture out, or he does venture out beyond, I don't even remember how to pronounce the country's name, Wakanda. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To do other things. And he gets involved in the Avengers. Now, the reason why he may be really important now and why they actually rolled him out on stage with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans is, if you know about Civil War, the comic book series, you know that the character in the middle of the Civil War event was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like Sony and Marvel Studios have figured out how to share Spider-Man yet.
Mm-hmm.
So all signs may be pointing to Black Panther being the Spider-Man character in the Civil War story.
So, okay.
Oh, really? So will there be an iron Black Panther costume?
Well,
maybe,
but the point is that, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would, yeah.
I was wondering, because there was a lot of rumors floating around that this event was going to be a, hey, we got Spider-Man back, or hey, we've got him on loan announcement.
Right.
And now, that
they may
happen.
Still be doing that. I mean, you know, I went off yesterday during Comic Dorks and again last night on the Major Spoilers podcast talking about rumors being presented as fact. Notice they didn't wheel out any Sherlock Holmes on stage and say, look, here's the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
So there may still be a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, a lot of negotiations going on.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are. But it's all very exciting, and it seems like they've got a really strong slate, and they've also sort of thought a lot of this through. I mean, it feels just really solid. And once again, it's just like, DC's like, you know, we'll make our announcement at our shareholders meeting. That'll be good, right? People be excited about that, right? And then Marvel's like, no, we're going to Steve Jobs this business and get up on a stage and freak everybody out. Like, Marvel is just not eating their lunch, but they're just doing these things in a way that I feel like they understand what they're doing more.
Yeah.
It's hard to put my
finger
on.
I think so. I mean, they were able to get Captain Marvel, a female character on screen. Granted, she comes right after Wonder Woman a year later, but that's another big standalone piece that people are excited
about. It is, but what's the deal with some people are all up in arms that we're not getting a female-centric Marvel hero movie until
2018? Well, but I mean, it's 2018. Now, the thing with that is we've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2 coming up, which leads us into the Infinity War, which we're assuming is the movie take on Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Captain Marvel we're going to see her a lot sooner on screen than people think.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be integral as we move to that 2019 closeout date for Infinity War Part 2.
Okay, that's cool. Did you guys...
Yeah, her movie's sandwiched right between the two Infinity War movies. So I think we're going to see an introduction to her. If not in the Captain America, if not in the Civil War movie.
I think in Civil War we'll see her show up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, she's going to have to move in. I think that they need that character in space. So I think she'll also be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Can you believe what we're even talking about here? Like,
sometimes it's so much fun, isn't
it? I have to freaking pinch myself that we even get to have these conversations, that this stuff is actually happening and they're doing it like comic books.
Yeah.
So that we're all wondering, ooh, but she'll have to make an appearance in this one because that's all connected to the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, this is not a conversation I ever predicted. Me, you, and I would ever talk about. I've just mentioned myself twice, and I don't know why. All right, here's the other... go ahead.
Oh, we've also got the DC list. Do we want to finish out the Marvel list?
Yeah, so Inhumans comes out November 2nd, 2018. That's very interesting because a lot of people have said that Marvel is using the Inhumans as a replacement for mutants in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because Fox has the X-Men franchise. Yeah. And, of course, as I mentioned, Avengers Infinity War comes out in May of 2018 and May of 2019.
Yeah.
If you've been keeping track of everything, just between Marvel and DC characters, now this includes Fox and Sony, there are 27 superhero movies from those two publishers coming out between 2015 and 2020.
Good Lord.
I have 29. I have 29
is it 29?
In my list. Yeah.
6, 7. Oh, I've got 27. There was one that was canceled. A couple of them that are canceled that I haven't been moved forward, but I counted up 27 yesterday.
So there are more. So I think you could look at it this way. There are more movies coming out in that 5-year block than there have been superhero movies in the last 50 years.
Probably.
That's
2017. 2017 looks to be the biggest year. There are 7 movies coming out that year based on superheroes just from Marvel and DC. Now that doesn't count what's going on at Dark Horse Comics or IDW Publishing or any of the other publishers that have some movie deals. So we are really going to see a glut, maybe, as some people might say, of superhero comic book flicks for the next 6 years.
Well, and sometimes they'll slip in, you know, a 30 Days of Night or a...
Yeah.
I can't think of another one.
I'm pretty sure IDW is doing Lock and Key as a movie right now. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of different comic book movies that we'll see, not necessarily superhero genre related.
What was that Tom Hanks gangster one I loved so much?
Road to Perdition
is one of the coolest movies. It's totally worth grabbing that if you've never seen it, folks, and watching it and realizing, oh, this was a comic book. Like those I get excited about as well.
History of Violence is another one of those that is based on a comic book turned into a movie.
I never did see that. I should see that. What's wrong
with
me?
It's a little disturbing.
Yeah, well, it's what's his name? That director's weird. Okay, did you see the footage this morning?
Of the
them sitting around trying to pick up the hammer?
Yes. Now that was actually from what I remember from San Diego Comic-Con, that was what was shown at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, I didn't
know.
Because
all the descriptions that came out had them trying to pick up the hammer, and then the Ultron figure appears, and then the way those descriptions went from the live feeds that people were tweeting out, that is probably the exact same thing they saw at San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
Looks really cool. And I love when Captain America, spoiler, is pulling up the hammer and it moves just a little bit and you see Thor's expression just totally change in the fact that, holy crap, this guy might be worthy.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that is such a piece of fan service. That is so everybody, we kind of get it. Okay, the only complaint I have about all of this, I had this complaint about the first movie and I'll have this complaint moving forward. I understand why it's happening this way. I understand the star power that Robert Downey Jr. has. Mm-hmm. I just feel like in the Avengers universe, Captain America should be the guy we get the most time with, or the guy that seems to be the de facto leader of what's happening.
Yeah, Chris Evans just, I think, is tired of acting.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he doesn't care.
He wants out and he wants to direct.
I mean, the Captain America movies are awesome, and that's what I want out of my Captain America. But when he gets with the Avenger guys, Robert Downey Jr. just eats everyone's lunch, and I can't tell if that's on purpose or because that's just what Robert Downey does. I don't know, but to me the world, it's kind of like that horrible Lone Ranger movie. It's like don't have Tonto be your point of reference for everything.
Yeah,
you need to actually have a guy named the Lone Ranger in your movie called the Lone Ranger, you dumbasses. And he was nowhere to be found in that freaking thing. He was just a waste of a character. So whatever, it's fine, it's totally fine. And Tony Stark is a huge part of all this, and I get it. But so is Captain Damn Freaking America, dude.
Yeah,
he's the man. All right. I'm glad you came on to talk to us about this.
Hey, thanks. No problem. Glad to do it. I told you on Monday that there was going to be big news this week.
Yeah, so we just didn't quite know how big or how right after Comic Dorks it would have ended up being. But
yeah, exactly.
Now I wish I would have delayed the show. But hey, whatever. We got what we got. Steven Schleicher, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
See you.
Like this breaking news, thing with him, just bringing him in
totally,
for a quickie.
Totally.
Also, Kevin Smith lost a ton of weight and shaved his beard. That's just something I wanted to mention. It's really weird, Brian. Click that link. My gosh.
I did. Him without a beard, I mean, he looks like just some average doofus.
Yeah.
Right?
Like if you keep the beard on him, and even with all the weight loss, it's still Kevin Smith. You're like, oh yeah, Kevin Smith. You shave him. Who the hell is that guy in there?
Right. Right.
He could go anywhere he wants. Even in the hockey jersey, and people would just think he's a dude. Like, that doesn't look anything like him. Oh, that's freaking me out.
It's a really, really bizarre look. But hey, good for him, man.
Did you give that to the chat? I'll give it to him if you didn't.
Oh, whoops. No, I
didn't. Here, chat. You guys can have that because that's something to see. All right. Yeah. We're going to take a break. Before we do, tweakedaudio.com is sponsoring today's show. They have great styles, great colors, great selection. All of their stuff designed to fit in your ear holes and make everything sound better, whether it be music, talk, podcasts, audiobooks, whatever. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and all. Go to tweakedaudio.com right now. Get a lifetime warranty and 33% off by using the code STREAM. You get that warranty no matter what, but if you use the code STREAM, 33% off. We're now going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Nicole, we'll have Tom, we'll have your emails. We'll have a gay old time. In the old way, you know, the happy way. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
We don't have to be. We don't, you know, it's not that kind of.
You don't have to go there.
No, do not have to go there. Not that there's anything wrong with that. All right, Brian, why don't you lay down the music? What do we got?
Yes, sir. This one's going out to Crystal from Alabama. She says, "Dear Brian and Scott, Saturday, the world lost just a bit of color when my friend Suzanne passed away from cancer. It's a rare one with a long name, so I'll spare you that. At the age of 31, I'm still reeling from what was a fast decline and struggling with the fact that I didn't get to say a proper goodbye as she was already on life support by the time I made it to her bedside. We're trying to come up with a beautiful way to pay tribute to her, but until we do, a cover song will do. She loved music, tattoos, Star Trek, Sons of Anarchy, Boys with Beards, dyeing her hair every color of the rainbow and supplementing with colorful wigs once the chemo took that from her. She loved Tool, Sublime, Silverchair, Weezer. You get the gist. But anything Brian feels appropriate would be lovely. And if he can't get this request in this week, any time would be great. I just wanted a reason to make a request to TMS, but never wanted it to be this kind of reason. Go taste the rainbow, Crystal from Alabama."
Man, 31, dude.
I know. That's rough. Well, she said she likes Sublime, and I've got a beautiful version here of Sublime's Santeria, sung by a band called Washington for the Triple J Like a Virgin 6 album from Australia, from the Triple J show down in Australia from 2010. This version is just beautiful. I mean, it's a weird song to hear a beautiful version of, but I think the vocals here and the tribute and the fact that she likes Sublime should be a really, really good combination here for her. Here's Santeria by Washington from the Triple J Like Version 6 album.
All right. Well, this is for all our friends whose phones are plugged in right now. Hey, Siri. All right, here you go. It's that song. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Santeria, I ain't got no crystal ball. Well, I had $1 million, but I'd spend it all if I could find that Hannah. And that's Sancho that she's found. Well, I'd pop a cap in Sancho and I'd slap her down. What I really wanna know, my baby, what I really wanna say, I can't define. Cause it's love that I need, oh yeah. My soul will have to wait till I get back and find a hina of my own. Daddy's gonna love one and all. And I feel the break, feel the break, feel the break, and I got to live it up, oh yeah. Well, I swear that straight down Sancho's throat. Believe me when I say that I got something for his punk ass. What I really want to know, my baby, what I really want to say, I can't define. Cause it's love.
Between the ages of 17 and 34 can earn extra money and qualify for retirement pay by taking part-time military training at home. For full information, see local headquarters of your National Guard. Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I don't see how that's a party.
Burn in hell, you little green bastard.
This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back. Hello, we're back. Hello, yes.
So to confirm, so I that is Megan Washington. She just goes by the name Washington, but beautiful voice on her.
Yeah, incredible,
such
right?
Such a great take on that song.
Great couple of days of female artists singing stuff.
Yeah.
That one yesterday is still haunting me. I'm loving it. So good.
Very good.
Good picks. All right. Hey, what are we doing here? What do we got here? We got Nicole coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to pull her in. And to do that, well, I have to lean over here.
We'll do that. Don't lean over there.
Me. Don't mind me, everyone. This won't take but a moment. Ah, there we go. Get her in here. Let's get this going. I'm going to hit this here button here when she's ready. Hold on a second. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we welcome to the program one Nicole Spagnolo. Hello, Nicole. Ooh, weird. Gross. Scary. What the heck was that? Man, it must be Halloween time. What's happening there?
Ooh, look at me. I'm in a dark room.
Scary. Ooh. You're like some kind of vampire lady. Nicole is our recommendals queen. She comes on every Wednesday and does cool recommendations on streaming services like Netflix, Amazon, and others. And today's a cool idea. I like today's theme a lot.
Before we get to it, by the way, I like the weird shadowed figure in the blinds behind you, too.
Yeah. Ooh, where? What? Oh. You gotta think you got her, dude.
Like, wait a minute, I can see me. I don't see anything.
Yeah. Ooh, there is kind of like a little, like, look back there. Look out that window. There's like a little head and shoulders back there.
Oh, it could be. That was
freaky. All right. Nicole, how's it going anyway? How you doing?
You know, okay. It's Halloween. Mm. Mateo just had a birthday. We celebrated a third birthday. And then, you know, sometimes there's crap on top of it. So
I understand. Sure.
But, yeah.
But big fun, though. I mean, it's always fun to have a birthday.
Yeah, lots of fun.
I noticed you did something the other day that is so Nicole to me, which is you put up this picture of what you referred to as pre-Thanksgiving, like warm-up.
Yes.
Nicole is so into these holidays and so into the traditions of them and cooking like a wild woman and all those things that she's already making meals that are like warm-ups to Thanksgiving. I think that's amazing.
My thought is, why do you put all that pressure on one day to make the perfect meal? Mm-hmm. You wait a whole year to do all those recipes again. Why not kick off and do a practice Thanksgiving right before it?
I completely agree, and I am in complete agreement with you. That is an awesome thing to do, and I love these holidays too, so you got me all excited when I saw that.
Yeah, you should do it. It's really fun.
All right. So, I'm in.
And if you use the Alton Brown turkey method, your turkey will only take 2 hours to bake.
Oh, is that all?
We used that last year. Yeah.
I'm going to play a little background Halloween music here. Because Nicole has come to us with Halloween recommendations.
Creepy.
Well, sort of. Tell us how
not
we're doing
just,
this.
Not
today.
Just her.
Yeah, we're gonna change it up, and if this works out well, we might do this more often. Mm. So, all three of us. I asked before we recorded if each one of you would pick your favorite Halloween themed scary movie. That's streaming. I mean, that's the key, right?
Right. It has to be streaming.
It has to be streaming. So none of us know what we're gonna pick.
Right. So I have no idea.
I'll kick it off.
All right.
All right. There is a remake of this film. Do not watch the remake. Watch the original.
Oh, no. I wonder if you're going to pick what I
think. No. I decided not to. I'm sorry. I changed my mind at the last minute because I was going to go scary. But then I decided I was going to go funny scary.
Yeah.
I like to laugh a lot. Right. But I also like to be scared. And they're kind of, if you think about it, when you get really scared and you're like, the next thing you do is start laughing, right?
Right.
Because you're kind of embarrassed and not feeling. So I'm going to recommend a film that's on Amazon Prime and Netflix. So if you have either or, you can watch this. The 2010 film, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
this
one.
This is such a fun movie.
Someone hated this. Who hated this? Oh, Randy hates this.
Really?
Yeah. He's remember last week because we were talking about it. He was saying something about how it was a really dumb movie and wasn't. It was good because Andy Tudyk's in it or something.
It's so funny, Dad. I'm on video, so you're going to see my dad in the back.
Oh, cool. Your dad. That's right. Your dad's there. I know he can't hear us, but hello to your dad.
So, yeah, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. This is such a fun movie. I love it. It's got a lot of cliches, unexpected. I don't know. It wasn't something I was expecting. Did you see it, Brian?
No, I haven't seen this. I've heard about it, and I'm just putting it at the top of my my queue right now for streaming. So I'm going to watch this week.
So Tucker and Dale, they're best friends. They just purchased a cabin in the woods. It's their vacation home. And they come across a bunch of college kids. And it, you know, it sets it up for all the tropes. And there's a lot of different twists. It's really, really funny and silly. And kind of reminds me of Evil Dead, but with comedy.
Oh, cool. Or more comedy. I mean, Evil Dead is a kind of comedy, but it's a different kind of comedy.
It's always had that like tongue-in-cheek thing going on.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Or tongue-through-cheek most of the time. I really like that movie as well. I think it's good fun. And to me, it reminds me of like, it's the redneck version. Basically, it's Shaun of the Dead, but let's put it in the woods. You know,
right, with rednecks and college kids.
Sure, why not? Nice. All right, then I think Brian should be next. Brian, what's yours?
Okay. Well, this movie does have a remake. A lot of horror movies. It's funny because as I was looking through the list, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, it has a remake. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, it has a remake. Mm. I scrolled. So my go-tos for horror movies are The Exorcist, but that's not streaming. Mm-hmm. Angel Heart, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Hey, that's the one with the shotgun in the vajayjay. Is that the one?
Yes.
I remember that when that came
Denise
out.
Denise Huxtable. Yeah.
She was on a Cosby Show when that came out.
Yeah, the Cosby Kid got a shotgun and the hoo-ha is all I'm saying.
Okay. There's so much more to that movie than that.
I know, but that's all I remember.
I know. It's your George Harrison.
Got my mind set on you. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So keeping going down the list, I was looking through the streaming. I'm like, all right, well, I like that one. That's okay. I like that one. Then I came across this one. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. Because it combines not only horror, but also that feeling of being exiled, of being kind of a castaway, of being a loner, especially in high school. Oh,
just rebel.
A rebel. Not a rebel. Not a rebel, Dot. Just a loner. Got to roam and roam free. No, I'm talking about Carrie, the original Carrie by Brian De Palma. Of course, it ends with that great prom scene that everyone's seen clips of. And of course, recently, Foo Fighters even did a take on it for the
was the best video challenge. Ever.
It was really good.
Like a challenge with Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Was so good. Yeah. This movie, though, because there is so, it's got such an uneasy feeling, especially Piper Laurie as this super religious mom who is confining her daughter both, you know, literally and figuratively. And this daughter, it's based on a Stephen King novel, of course. And right up until the end, it's really creepy and scary and is really well done. Brian De Palma knew what he was doing as far as horror movies with this one.
Did you see the remake yet?
Have not seen the remake.
Mm. And that is streaming. And I've been...
Both of them are streaming. So you could do a double feature.
That's Chloe Moretz.
Grace Moretz.
I like her. I like her a lot.
Mm. Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm tempted to watch it.
Mm. She's the kick-ass girl, everybody. all right. That's a good one.
Great one.
I would agree with both these so far. All right. Mine is... which one did I choose? Because I had a list. Hold on. Now my brain just went blank. I know which one I went with. All right. It's Event Horizon, which we saw on FilmSack.
Oh.
I'm a huge, huge fan of deep space horror. Like the original Alien, Event Horizon is a good example. There are others like this, but like I even see 2001 A Space Odyssey. I see it less as a experimental sort of sci-fi existential film, and I see it much more as a very scary space movie because out there, you're so freaking alone.
No one can hear you scream.
Yeah, it's just all of that stuff has always rung a bell with me. And even though I think Event Horizon has a bunch of issues now, kind of a lot of stuff doesn't hold up as well as it did when I first saw it, and we saw that in FilmSack. There's still something about that place and that kind of idea that just gets me every time. That's streaming on Netflix, maybe even on Amazon. I didn't check. And it comes and goes. It's been streamed for a while, then it got pulled, and then it's back, and I think it's back right now. But there's just something about that, just people going crazy out there. Your worst enemy is yourself. Pandorum was another good one. I thought a lot of people hate that movie, but I thought it was great. Had the crazy Quaid, had Dennis Quaid in it. although lately, well, whatever. He was in that along with the guy Medivh in the new Warcraft movie. I can't think of his name. Gosh dang it. He was in 310 to Yuma, the crazy partner. Oh. What's his name?
Yeah, I can't think of the guy.
Anyway, that guy. I love that guy. He was Angel in the third X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever his name is.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster, thank you. He played a mentally handicapped kid in Freaks and Geeks, which always weirds people out. Anyway, that movie is good. People should watch it. Ignore the fact that some of the stuff is super 90s and kind of doesn't hold up as well, but it's scary as hell. And that's my pick. There you go.
Yay!
Look at that. Cool. Three movies recommended
very
by three
too.
People.
Like,
very good. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even on Netflix, there's a Halloween picks if you're looking for scary movies. Mm. So Netflix kind of gathered them all up for you as well. There was one that just caught my eye that I remember when it was being filmed, and I thought, well, that's weird. When Elijah Wood. He plays a serial killer.
Oh.
It's not the bad son, is it? That's something different.
No, he was the good son.
That's true. I guess he was. It was Culkin was the bad.
Exactly. And I think that is streaming.
Spoiler.
The Elijah Wood movie is called Maniac. And it is streaming on Netflix. I just was scanning. I was like,
there it is right there. Interesting.
Yeah, so...
Does anyone say, I don't mean to Mr. Frodo in that movie? No. All right.
I'm curious about it because I remember when it was being filmed, I thought that was such a weird role for him to take. And I remember reading a few articles about it. So I'm going to put that on my list to watch this week.
All right. Yeah. You're into this whole idea of like, let's watch scary movies leading up to Halloween and all that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. One movie that I watched and I didn't recommend because it's not streaming on Netflix or Amazon, but I did find it legally on YouTube for free. It's the most campiest horror movie ever, and I can't get enough of it. It's a 1988 film, Night of the Demons.
I have heard of it. Have not seen it.
So you can go on YouTube right now and just look for Night of the Demons original, and the entire movie is streaming on YouTube, and they're not taking it down. So I'm not going to flag it.
That sounds film sacky, doesn't it, Brian?
Oh, there it is right there. Yeah, if only we're streaming.
Oh, my gosh. You guys could totally sack this movie. It is ridiculous. There's so many tropes in it. All these white kids. And, of course, there's the token black guy. And they're all in a haunted house. And everybody's getting killed. But there is a twist. And I'm not going to give you the twist.
Yeah.
To the trope. But if you watch it, you'll... It's one of my favorite scary movies. Right. And there's also an old guy with apples and razor blades. And yeah.
I'm in. That sounds good to me.
Watch it. Night of the Demons.
All right. Night of the Demons,
apples,
everybody.
And razor blades.
Nicole, always fun to have you on. You got anything do you want to pimp this week?
Well, I want to give you a Quizzler.
No, please. Give us a Quizzler.
Pimp that. Pimp a Quizzler.
Pimp a Quizzler.
Halloween themed Quizzler. Here we go.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
You have to have faith for that to work, Mr. Vincent. Remember.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea. Hold on, let me think.
Is that Fright Night?
That is the original Fright Night. Yeah. It's streaming on Netflix, and that was going to be my original pick.
That was why that was so familiar to me, because we did that for FilmSack also.
We did, yes. And it's he was holding up the cross, and maybe he didn't have faith, so it didn't work.
That's insane.
Why were the vampire's teeth so jacked up?
Well, why wouldn't they be, you know?
In the afterworld.
Yeah,
the underworld.
Of course. Always fun, always good. Enjoy Halloween, Nicole. I know how much fun it's going to be with the boy at the age he's at. What a freaking blast it is to trick or treat with a kid that age.
See what he picks as his costume. He's like changes every day.
Check out my tweet, by the way. I just sent to you.
Okay.
To that. And
I saw that.
Nicole, have a great day. We'll see you later. Bye.
It's creepy, dude. There's a little silhouette back there.
Yeah, you can. I was joking when I said that, but there is a little, like, you could imagine that that's a shape out there.
Yep.
Crazy.
It's Mark Spagnuolo stalking his wife.
Let's see. The Window Whisperer.
Ace Detect is our next guest.
Yay!
Because it's Wednesday, and we're going to talk about technology.
Technology.
Everyone.
Don't hold with that technology,
right.
Bub.
No, it's all bullcrap.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, gosh. The man is Tom Merritt. Happy Halloween, Tom.
Wait, it's not Halloween yet.
Oh, no, I guess it's not.
Well, but, you know, we can still wish each other a happy Halloween.
The spirit of Halloween all year long, Scrooge.
That's true. Tom and I will be doing a show Friday during Halloween's kind of early bits for those on the East Coast and Central time zones, which is the scariest thing ever. So tune in to Current Geek this Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain.
Find out how many trick-or-treaters disrupt Current Geek.
That's right.
All of them is the answer. Oh, that's fun.
Tom Merritt, let's settle down here. Let's sit by the fire. Let's talk some technology here. We had a long, very detailed discussion with Justin Robert Young yesterday regarding the whole payment thing and that little bit he did for DTNS and
currency,
the ins and outs. And I had a I don't want to bombard you with that again, but I want you to be able to talk about what you want to talk about. But I wanted to at least ask you this one question: is there any possibility, or what are the ethics, or just generally, what do you think of this idea that this MCX system, which requires people to have an app to go into to use these, you know, the Walmart way and the Best Buy and all the, you know, Rite Aid, and everybody wants you to use these apps. And there's all kinds of arguments about whether they're shelling out all your information, blah, 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 and why they suck compared to the other thing. QR codes are not the answer, blah, blah, blah. Forget about all that for a minute. What are the ethics involved with Apple and Google removing their MCX apps from the iOS store and the Google Play store? Would that not be tantamount to these stores removing QR scan or near field communication scanners from their stores? What's the difference between those two actions? Why couldn't they do that to disrupt this whole problem?
They could.
Yeah. Do you think they will?
Well, and here's the thing. Apple definitely could defend that sort of situation because they've always said, we control the app store. We decide what apps go in here. We've decided that this competes with a feature that is already existing on the iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. Or they do that all the time. And they would, both companies would take a lot of guff. You're not asking me whether it would be a smart move or a popular move or if they would get in trouble for it, but they could do it. I mean, the terms of the Apple store are very clear. Apple gets to say no to whatever app they deem is unimportant. Google would have a harder time with that. They would have to make some kind of argument about malware or danger or whatever, because the Google Play Store is a lot more open. They do a lot less gatekeeping, but they could probably figure out a way if they were really wanted.
Well, don't you think that the reaction, I mean, they would get, this is the one case where there would be a pretty unified voice.
Let's be clear to anybody who's listening. They haven't done that.
No.
That's we're not saying that they're going to do that or that they did do that. Scott's putting forth a hypothetical.
Yeah, let me posit the idea that they did. And let's say that they did. If they did,
what if?
The blowback would not be from the user base. I feel like we and those in the know would be in big support of such a move, or at the very least it would add fuel to this fire that MCX is lame and that the stores are being jerks and they might actually get behind people pulling these apps. But the store backlash would be...
Oh, I think the public backlash would be huge.
You think it would be?
Because, come on, Scott, you've met the internet. Pull something away that, probably shouldn't be pulled away, and outrage ensues. I mean, that's just the way it always goes. So I think this whole thing is a tempest in a teapot. Mm. I think what happened was Apple people showed up in stores that Google Wallet people had been shopping at for a long time, but because the news was on it, and because probably maybe two people showed up that day instead of one person showing up that day using it, suddenly some executive up the chain said, hey, wait a minute, we shouldn't be allowing these devices to work. They work? They work with those terminals? We can't do that. We want to force everyone into currency because currency allows us to make all the money and not send any money to the credit card companies. In a way, looking at this, it's these retailers, Rite Aid and Walmart, who are trying to disrupt the old-fashioned system. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that the near-field communication stuff from Google and Apple does is say, let's make credit card payments easier and a little more secret. But it enshrines the current system of credit card companies processing payments. What these retailers want to do is say, hey, if these folks have got the internet in their pocket, we could just process the payment ourselves and keep all the money ourselves. Let's do that.
Right.
And so they're the Lyft. They're the Uber in this situation. They're disrupting the current model by using technology. In the end, I think near field communication is a whole lot simpler. Yeah. I think Apple's implementation is the ideal implementation, which says we're just going to be a dumb device that connects your credit card to that terminal without giving as any more information than we absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And I think this idea of a QR code that you have to scan is just ridiculous. I mean, plenty of people aren't going to use Google Wallet or Apple Pay even though their phones have it, because they just don't want to mess with that. It's easier to take the card out of their wallet. They're used to that, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's, I mean, how many people are really going to like do the QR code merchant thing? Yeah, maybe they can do some coupons to get to convince a few people to come over to it, but right. I just don't know. Well, I think where this ends up is near field communication wins. We have a few providers, probably, don't forget SoftCard, which used to be called ISIS. Until that name was started to be used by Western governments to refer to something else. But SoftCard is out there with near field communication. I think we end up with three, maybe four, maybe a new one comes in. And most merchants take all of them and you integrate those loyalty cards and stuff in there. In fact, that's what SoftCard's probably going to do that will get them some retailers on board is say, I know you guys really want to keep that customer data, so we'll do a little compromise here. We'll let you have your Ralph's card or your Safeway card or your Kroger card in there with our system. Mm. And probably Apple and Google will come up with something similar.
Sure.
It already exists with Passbook. In part.
That was already sort of a thing. Yeah, that's a good point. I love this review, and then we can not talk about this ever again, but there's a review on the MCX app on the App Store that gave it 5 stars. Says, amazing app, makes me the product. Currency, here's what he says. Currency allows me to expose all my personal information to retailers so they can use it as they please. I love the ease of use of opening up my spending habits to retailers with no concern for my privacy. Here are feature plus for me. Or no, future feature request for me. Please tie in my Wi-Fi or my store Wi-Fi and location data so you can track every aspect of me in your store. Please sell my data to your currency partners. Better yet, sell my spending habits to junk mail companies. I love unsolicited mail. And it goes on like that. There's like 10 of these.
Wait a minute. He sounds like he means the opposite thing of what he's saying.
I think he's being sarcastic.
That's called irony.
It is, isn't it? It's definitely not rain on your wedding day.
He is being ironic.
So, what are any other big stories popping this week that aren't related to that?
You know, the one
that?
That's really got my interest this morning is this HP Sprout. Mm. The stories are out now. HP has unveiled it. Have you seen this thing
yet?
No,
what the hell is it? Never
okay,
heard of it.
It's a less than $2,000 all-in-one. I think $1,899 is the going rate. And it is a touch screen. A nice big touchscreen, 23 inches, 1080p screen, mm-hmm. with a touchscreen on the bottom. A touchscreen mat
with a touchscreen.
Yeah,
weird.
So the mat has got kind of a textured feel to it. It can take pen input or touch input, and then it has a 3D camera up on the top that can do depth sensing of field. So what is this thing good for? HP's got a few ideas, but really it's more up to like, hey, here's the SDK, folks. Figure out what this is good for. I mean, as an artist, all of a sudden you have a nice big touchscreen down at the bottom where you can see the image you're working on. Granted, I think it's only 1024 by 768, so it's not like the highest resolution for stuff. But you can do a little manipulating. You can use your fingers to like enlarge and squeeze and rotate. Mm-hmm. The 3D scanner can actually take 3D objects, scan them, and then put that image in the computer. You can do it as a CAD device, so it could be a scanner for a 3D printer.
That's cool. Interesting.
You can duplicate things. Yeah, that's cool.
That part's very
interesting.
You can
pull something down from the touchscreen you're looking at and put it on the sensor down below. Mm-hmm. You can project a keyboard down there, which I bet doesn't work very well, but you could do it. It's just kind of one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if this will ever be popular or ever really good for anything. But it certainly is something I've never seen before, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, and you love that stuff like this exists because somebody's going to do something cool with it. And it's just, I guess I didn't expect to hear this from HP for some reason. Not that, you know, they are capable of innovating or doing things, I suppose, but this just came out of left field for me.
Remember, Scott, the H in HP is not for hate.
It's for David Hewlett. I don't know, wait, that's the guy
we're having. Yeah, that's Hewlett. Right. Yeah.
It's the guy we're having on Current Geek next month. So, $1,899.99 in November, on November 9th. That seems like not too big a bill to pay if you have a very specific use case for this.
Yeah, you throw this next to a Retina iMac, and this is, you know, it's cheap.
It looks cool. I wonder if they'll... So, like, here's my prediction. Someone will buy one of these things, and they will figure out some crazy direct integration with a hot new 3D printer. And they will start, they'll have some kind of, all right, here's what you do. You buy one of these and you just throw object after object after object under this thing. And we've written a script that just sends the data straight over to the printer and you're literally replicating on the fly.
Like, yeah, well, yeah, except 3D printers are so slow, it's not going to fly.
Well, when, yeah, good point. Won't be real time, won't be like Star Trek real time, but no. But it is, I mean...
We're replicating on the fly. Give us about 30 minutes.
Yeah, put about 30 Ys on that fly word. But but you can take, I mean, just imagine, put an orange there and then make another orange. Like, I know it's not an orange.
Are you looking at the Engadget version?
Don't eat that, though.
No, I'm looking. I'm seeing this on The Verge is where I'm seeing it.
HP must have used an orange in their demonstration of this, because Engadget used the orange as an example as well.
Oh, really?
And they suggested, like, you're the Don Draper of the 21st century, right? And you're making an ad for oranges, and you're working on your little touchscreen down there with your stylus, and you need to put an orange in there, and you have this delicious orange in real life that you've been using to inspire you. You just scan it in.
Oh, look at this.
You're holding it. You scan it in. Now the orange is up there on the screen. You pull it down. You just flick it. It goes down onto the ad you're working on. You manipulate it. Make sure it looks good. Add some, you know, glare effect, because you're also J.J. Abrams. And then, boom, you've got an advertisement.
What an odd stylus, though. Do you see the stylus tip? It's like a little... They have a close-up on the Engadget story. It's like a little disc on the end of that pen. Wonder if that's required or what that is. That's very odd.
I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But this is fascinating to me. I don't really think of HP in the way that they're presenting this. And so, and in some ways, I'm super impressed. In other ways, I'm like, well, that $2,000 could be spent on something a little more that I know I need. Whereas this looks like something, if I had the money, it'd be fun to experiment. But I don't know what the use case is. So,
well, and I'm sure one of the things HP is doing here is showing, hey, we can still innovate. Look at what we did, right?
Yeah.
But the danger when you innovate like that, which is why Apple always gets the criticism of imitating, because they never go out on the edge like this. But the danger when you innovate is that people are like, okay, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
There will be plenty of people who will buy it, like you say, just to try it out and see what they can do.
Well, it's exciting stuff. As always, this and more exciting things can be found at DTNS every day on the Daily Tech News Show. Anything else, Tom, going on right now?
Yeah, Andrew Main is on the show today. Mm. So don't trust our show.
No, don't trust him or the show. do trust him.
No, really excited. Andrew Main's going to be on, and we're going to be talking. I don't know, maybe we'll talk more about the HP thing. There's some other good stuff in the news. Mm. Sword and Laser is delayed this week because Ms. Belmont said she had to work. But I think she just wanted to watch the World Series.
Yeah, she didn't show up for Monday's TMS video game segment either. I think she's slacking, man.
Yeah. She's pod-fading.
Yeah, right. No,
she's actually working really hard. But we'll be putting out a new Sword and Laser tomorrow morning. Mm. Well, tomorrow morning we'll record it, so it should come out sometime.
She's all up in that IBM, what's it called, their thing they're doing this week? IBM Think Week or...
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I don't know. It's cool, though.
She's working for the man.
She is working for the paycheck. Man. Yeah, and the man, damn it. Better take care of her while she's gone. All right,
We're going to get Tom tomorrow night. We're going to see you tomorrow night for the for the game show.
Oh yeah,
in fact, I had to. Veronica's like, let's record Thursday afternoon. I'm like, can't.
Good. Wow. I'm glad I snagged you for that.
Look at this.
She's like,
sacrifice.
Who is more important than me? I'm like, Ibbit. Like,
all right.
I'm sure that's the noise she made.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'm pretty sure it was, even though it was over text.
Well, for her benefit, go Giants. I guess tonight they got to pull it out. So we'll
see. It's backs up against the wall. I mean, 1985, my Cardinals were right there with the Royals, coming back in game six and then game seven. So I hope it works out better for the Giants. If you're a Giants fan and if you're a Royals fan, I will forgive you.
Yeah, plus I'd really like Dills to be in some sort of a good medical shape on Friday.
Right? We know too many Giants fans. We need them to win just for our own personal
sanity, for our own everything. Yeah.
If the Giants lose, he's going to be a mess at BlizzCon. We're never going to get him out of the bar. Out he's going to be like...
Yeah, just permanent funk.
So he's going to sit there going, away. Look at his Hearthstone cards and falling asleep.
And he'll win anyway. That's the sad part. Tom Merritt, take it easy. We'll see you tomorrow and on Friday for Current Geek. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerritt.com, blah, 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 blah. We'll see you later, man.
Adios.
Bye now. All righty.
There you go. Always good talking to Tom. Let's do some emails. Why the hell not?
Sure.
Emails are brought to you by...
The Star Wars-themed pint glasses on the Frog Pants store by Scott Johnson and John Kovalik. Kovalik?
I've always said Kovalik, but I also heard him say it different when we had him on Current Geek, so it's who knows.
Okay. You'll find them at frogpants.com/store. Drink in our moment of triumph.
That's right. He's awesome. He's the writer and artist for Dork Tower, the venerable yes. webcomic, as well as anytime you play Munchkin, you're seeing his artwork. Yeah. Good man.
Great artist.
We had fun collaborating on that deal. And sure. the pint glasses are going quick, so get in there, man. Frogpants.com/store. They look great. They're all Star Wars themed. Get them while they're hot. Let's see here. Dave wrote in and said, Brian's favorite word is totally. And I think the way he's pronounced it would be totally.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't really? Know about that.
I don't feel like I use that one.
I don't think at it's
least
that
not, not as much as maybe Moon Unit Zappa.
Right?
Totally.
What's she doing now? She's not with Mark Maron anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were going out and then that died. Let's see here. Eddie in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a guy you owe money to or something.
Eddie in Pittsburgh.
Scott and Brian, if you could watch only one more film or TV show episode, what would it be? It could be anything from the past, present, or future. Future. Thanks. Love the show. Yeah.
So one more episode of any show.
Or TV or film sequel, I guess. So I'm going to take it as meaning like Star Wars episode 7, if it wasn't already coming. Or, you know, like a TV show, like, oh, one more Sopranos episode to see what happened to Tony, like that.
Right. Oh, geez, that's crazy. Yeah. All right.
I'd do a Lost episode, I think. I want to know what happens after the purgatory.
Oh, really?
That's
it. They all walk out the door with a little glowing light behind them.
Yeah, and then what? That's what I want,
and
is the what.
Then they're all in Lost heaven, typing on keyboards and playing with Mother Mary ceramic figures.
Oh, good. My toast has Jesus's picture in it.
I would say Avengers 2 would be my thing. Like if basically it's like you only get one more chance to watch something, that would have to be
I guess that's a good point. Because those are things we know are coming and know are going to have something good in them. Whereas these other things for me would be like, I want to know the mysteries of what's next. Like I want to know... I don't know. What's a good example? I can't think of a good example here. Like, how did Firefly? I want one more episode of Firefly. How about that? You know, like that's how I'm thinking about it. Things I know I'm never going to get.
Something that doesn't exist. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like a capper on Quantum Leap that shows where Sam leapt to after the last leap.
There you go. And shows that ended prematurely, so you don't know, things left hanging, you know, and you want to, like, Deadwood's like that. Like, what the hell happened on Deadwood?
I see what you're saying.
So, for me, I think what we just did is a psychological experiment that shows one of the big differences between you and I. You are a practical dude. You're going to be thinking about the thing that's going to, you know what, let's bring it back down to earth.
This
let's
exists.
Do a thing we can do. Actually do. And I'm over here in the ether going, what would it be like if Lost, we knew what happened after that door, you know, like there's no real value other than imagination to what I'm saying, which doesn't mean you're not imaginative. But what I mean is you're like, well, I can, you know, at least Avengers 2 is a thing.
That's a quantifiable.
Yeah. Those actors exist. A film is being made. I'm going to die before, you know, like you're right. I think you're the right one in this case. Anyway, Wendy might make something of that. Final email. No, two more. Okay. Sorry. We got two more. Dear Aspartame and Blood Sugar. Though the marketing is correct that humans cannot metabolize aspartame and so not gain any calories from it, it turns out that our gut bacteria can. Furthermore, the gut bacteria can influence how our body works, particularly in this study, how we regulate our own blood sugar. This is all in response to the aspartame argument from days ago. Though I agree we have used more aspartame per body weight. What? Used more aspartame per body weight. I think that research is still worth paying attention to. Here's why. Number one, mice fed with aspartame had trouble regulating their blood sugar. Interesting. Two, they found out that the natural bacteria in the mouse gut, the microbiome, has changed in composition significantly after the aspartame treatment. Three, they can reverse the blood sugar problem by treating the mice with strong antibiotics, essentially killing all gut bacteria. Here's the fun part. Number four. They can also reverse the blood sugar problem by doing fecal transplants, taking poop from mice that was fed normal sugar diet and introducing it into the aspartame-treated mice.
Whoa! They're moving poop from one mouse to another?
They're doing this with people. Were you not aware of this? This is a real thing.
Really?
Yeah, you really haven't heard of the poop transplant. I thought we talked about the show before.
I have not heard of the poop transplant.
So people with like severe C. diff infections, like people with like all kinds of antibiotic problems and stuff like that, the only thing that's worked for some of these people is fecal transplants.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's bacteriotherapy, it's referred to. Doctors are doing it. Like, not just, this isn't some hippie in a hut doing this. This is like a real thing. So here's how they work. I'll give you a little breakdown.
They need a transporter for that business.
Recognition microbial during such novel techniques. Blah, 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 blah. So they have somebody from a healthy donor come in. They take their poop and they transfer it into the colon of the infected person, the person who cannot get their balance back to the right balance of, you know, all the microbes and
bacteria,
everything.
Right.
And, wow. And it's known to, in many, many cases, completely fixes it.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay, well, good. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not, right?
I'll donate my poop. If somebody needs my poop.
Yeah. Like my thing, my thing that I've got that could creep up any time, if it ever goes totally south and completely like destroys the lining inside gut stuff, that may be my only hope. Is,
you know what? I'm
going
to put some poop in a bag right now and mail it to you.
For Scott.
For Scott. Time. Exactly. Okay. Just in case you ever need it, it'll arrive in a box unmarked.
That's amazing.
I'll just set it on fire and put it on your doorstep. How's that?
Perfect. Stamp it out, and then I ruined all chances of recovering.
That's right.
Love the show, though. Oh, Kyle wrote in. Kyle, a.k.a. Red on IRC, says, hey, Scott, you asked for proof on the New Jersey Pace commercial, and I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet, so I messaged a buddy at a TV station, and here's the story.
Dude, whoa, really?
That's
cool.
I love you
cool.
guys. Freaking love our audience.
Yeah.
Quote, here's what his reply was. That spot was on what's called a pulled rotation reel. That means the company issued a strict order to take it off the air. Its order came in 1985, and it was actually supposed to be destroyed. Probably explains why you could not find it online. Most stations keep their pulled ads because they contain something humorous or they are historically significant later on. He didn't think it existed, but so this is back to this dude, but searched the 3/4 reel tapes for it and found it. He promised to send it as long as we do not reveal his identity because he would get in some trouble. So
right,
here it
he
is.
He gave his name at the beginning of this.
Yeah. He says, do not upload this to YouTube. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the NYC version one more time.
Okay. Right?
I love that we have this. This is the best
I'm
day of my life.
I'm link to this too. I wrote this.
Turn this up. This is real quiet.
Hey, Cookie, more pecani sauce.
Sorry, that's just YouTube volume. I can't crank it.
Pecani sauce. What's the difference?
This Cookie stuff's made new. Come on.
San Antonio. Fresh vegetables. And okay. People who know what pecani sauce is supposed to taste like. This stuff's made in New York City. New York City.
All right, there's the New York City. Okay.
Okay. That's the one that where their mouths are matching up with saying New York City.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Okay. That's my understanding. So now here's the Dropbox version, which I need to play via Dropbox. Here we go. All right. This is the same ad, Jersey version. This is the one pulled from their stuff.
All right.
So here we go.
Hey, Cookie, more pecani sauce.
Let's skip ahead again.
Cookie. Pace pecani sauce is made in San Antonio. People who know what pecani sauce is supposed to taste like. This stuff's made in New Jersey. New Jersey.
I knew it.
Wow.
I knew it existed. Brian, I have been redeemed.
It was funny. Their mouths totally like New Jersey.
That's amazing.
New Jersey.
Oh, I love it. I feel vindicated, man. Because so many people are like, oh, this doesn't exist. Scott's got another one of his, he's chasing a ghost again.
Right.
I knew I had seen it. I knew it. All right.
Look at that.
There it is. Thank you, listeners. Man, Kyle, you're the man. Thank you for digging down. This is like, talk about your journalism and your ethics. There's your journalism right there. Can't reveal the source. Oh, that's a lot. I just love it. I feel like I'm on, I just talked to Deep Throat or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Emails are brought to you by sending us emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. All you have to do is use that address and we will gladly read them.
Our biggest sponsor of emails is people who send them in.
Exactly. I am indeed validated, chat room. Thank you very much. Frogpants.com/TMS is our address. And there you will find links to everything, including our Twitter accounts, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville, among many other things. Don't forget, send your song requests to tiny.cc/TMS requests. It's real simple. If you send the emails, we kind of maybe get to those. We try not to skip them, but it's hard to catch them as quickly. So if you have a time restriction or any of that stuff, you want to use that request link. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for joining us. Let's get out with music. Brian has provided some, or will. What do you got for me, man?
I also was going to tell people that we're a little under a month away. So the 28th of November is going to be this year's 24-hour cover-thon to raise money for Alzheimer's. So Jeannie reminded me today that I probably should start promoting the heck out of that. Mm. But
that's why we love Jeannie.
We do. We do love Jeannie. And I'll be soliciting for guests here pretty soon as well for people who want to come on and maybe pick a few songs and talk about what they're doing and be a guest on the show. And I'm hoping that Scott will once again grace an hour with his presence or an hour or two if he's up for it.
I'm all in, man. Count me in. Cool. I'm in. Yep.
Cool. And I'm sitting down for this one year. Yeah. We're doing it at the poker table. So
yeah, because if you don't, you know what you end up with. Here, hold on.
I'm waiting.
If you don't, you'll end up with this.
My limp, penis.
Yeah. So
great.
Sit.
Thank
time.
You for that.
Sure.
All right. This one is going out to Tim, the funky Washingtonian. Hey, Toe Jam and Earl. I was listening to shows from a couple weeks ago, and you guys were talking about Chief Self, and it made me think about Soundgarden's cover of Black Sabbath's Into the Void. In this song, they changed the lyrics from the original to a speech given by Chief Self. It's the Seattle, the guy whose namesake became Seattle, right? Yeah. It's a little long, and the lyrics don't start until about a minute and a half into the song. But hey, it's Soundgarden, and it's Chris Cornell, and he's in full-on Aussie mode. Love the show, though, Tim. And he says, I'll be listening during my graveyard shift, apparently getting fat.
Nice. Nice. Well, you know.
Right.
At least he's... Yes, there you go. There's that.
It's because your body doesn't know what to do in the middle of the night if you're eating.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, this is Soundgarden. It's a cover that they released on a single, their Jesus Christ Pose EP, which came out in 1992. Not sure if it's available online other than buying a vinyl copy of it, but it's really good. It is Soundgarden covering Black Sabbath's Into the Void. Here it is, right here.
All right. It's Into the Void. We'll be back tomorrow with Therapy Thursday and more. And then our big trivia deal later. Watch for that.
Woohoo!
We'll talk about a bunch in the morning, so don't worry. We'll fill you in. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Your butt's soft.